Welcome to the Engage Voters, the podcast. And this is not politics. This is personal. We are not talking about red versus blue. We are talking about rent, rights, and real lives. So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Spirit. I'm the president of the Houston Area Urban League Young Professionals, and I'm also an accountant and a peak performance coach, taking people from good to great. And I have a cast of some amazing ladies. We're going to go left to right up in here.
My name is Mel Young. I serve as the Director of Operations for the Houston Land Bank, which does affordable housing. I also represent the Sunnyside Super Neighborhood. And this conversation is really important to me because I do represent a neighborhood that's underserved and really, really impacted by politics.
Oh, I'm Kanae Barnes. I'm a student here in Houston, Texas. I'm in my final year of college down at UHD. You might have seen me around Houston because I protest a lot. And this conversation is very personal to me because I think once I moved to Texas, oh, I forgot to say, I'm from Dayton, Ohio. I'm not from Texas. But I live in Houston, Texas. I love Houston, Texas. But I think once I moved to Texas and I saw like being underrepresented by being a woman and being a Black woman at that, I think it was more personal to me to be a part of an environment, be part of politics, and be able to advocate for people that look like me.
I'm Sarah Butler originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. I reside here in Houston as well. I am a labor and delivery registered nurse here in downtown Houston as well, advocating for Black women in labor.
I love that. I love that we're all over the place. As a fellow Jersey girl, what got me into this is honestly, they didn't talk about politics as much, like where the community I come from. And then moving to the South and seeing how our people are affected, I was like, yeah, I can't just talk about it. I need to do something about it. Yeah. So, like, what is the moment for y'all where it's like, hey, this is a turning point where I'm about this life for real. I'm about to study this and I'm showing up and showing out.
I moved to Texas in 2019 and I started high school here. And I was in like a little suburb outside of Austin, and it was just very white. And I think being in like a space like that where you're super duper underrepresented, like my teachers don't look like me, my classmates mm-hmm. don't look like me. And then the politics that was happening during that time definitely wasn't like affecting my community the way it was affecting other people's community. If anything, it was no benefit to my community at all. And it was like I was walking around and nobody was talking about it. Obviously, and I was talking to like classmates and it wasn't like a thing to them. And I'm like, I feel like this is something y'all should be like mad about. I feel like this is something yeah. y'all should have something on y'all chest about. And it didn't affect them at all. And I think that was when I was like, maybe I should do something. Mm-hmm. So it was like that.
For me, it's when I started buying property and started mm-hmm. paying like taxes and I would look at the tax bill and like, oh, this is where my money going. Like, who these people? You know, so paying taxes, owning property, seeing the condition in the area in which I did own property. Now that I have real money flowing into the system, mm-hmm. it was more so, all right, this real. Let me see what the system is. Where's my cash going?
I think mine was my grandfather participating in sit-ins mm-hmm. in the late 50s, early 60s. And I feel like the advocacy runs deep through my blood.
Okay,
so.
History.
All right. Right. So okay. I feel like it would be best for me to continue on his work and showing our people just the good work that we can do.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
I feel all of that. I've been having an issue like with us as a culture, because it's kind of like, you know, we all know our why and why we do this work, but we need more of us than just us four in this room. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, how do we get more of us involved to do this work? Like, why do you Girl. Think we don't show up? Girl. Why are we not showing up the way we should?
Yeah, I think we don't show up because we talk about it as politics, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, let's have a political conversation.
Yeah.
But really it's not. It's like, let's have a personal conversation, because mm. politics is personal, mm-hmm. like as you stated. So we have to start to approach conversation about politics in personal settings. Mm-hmm. And when we're having personal conversations, how do we, you know, kind of link that to politics in a way you know, that's sexy a little bit. You know? I think that's what we, or at least that's what I try to do, is kind of interweave what we consider political conversations into personal conversations.
Like, just to piggyback, like, literally, I feel like when I started to have conversations, especially, like, obviously, when I started at TSU, when you talk to people, like, you know, you don't have to do the red and blue talk. I don't got to go down a list of bills that just got passed. I don't got to. It's like, once you talk to them, like, girl, this how you going to pay tuition? Like, what we talking about? Like, this is how, this is why your car don't keep going up, or this is why your mama ain't never been able to own a house. And it's like, once you're able to, like, really kind of talk and be like, nah, like, y'all need to be, like, y'all need to be mad about this. And then it's like, I tell people all the time, like, it feels like politicians and, like, these people that are in offices are so far away from us. They are people just like we are. Like, I be telling people, like, y'all need to be, y'all could knock on y'all politicians' door. Like, y'all representatives, like, y'all go to their office. Y'all can email them. They can call them. Like, they serve you. We have us pay them. Like, they're for you. Yeah. But some people, I feel like they feel like that's so far away from them. And it's like, I got to worry about how this rent going to get paid. I got to worry about Like, I can't be thinking about that. But I tell people all the time, maybe your life wouldn't be so hard if you did think about it. And then, you know, and then I feel like it also comes from, like, us just being so underrepresented in the last few elections. You just don't think, like, you don't think to, like, you don't have the fight in you. It's like, oh, I don't care what they doing up there in Washington. I don't care what they doing down there in Austin. And it's like, but it's important to you because this is our country too.
Yeah, that's real. What are, like, what are some bills or legislation or ordinances that have, like, impacted y'all, like, personally, to where, like, you had to take note and be like, oh, this is, oh, this hit home. Like, what are some of those moments for y'all?
Well, so as an accounting professional, I've always been, it's a male dominated industry, and then it's definitely not too many people in finance that look like me. And dismantling even DEI alone, it affects the opportunities that I'm able to give in my career. Like, I bust my hat, my behind for these degrees. I bust my behind for these degrees, and you know, bumping shoulders, because it's not always what you know, it's who you know. But sometimes even that doesn't matter, because my name, my first name is Nitasia. They see my application come through and they like, I'm not even getting in the door. Like, opportunities are lost. And, you know, I'm thinking about legacy building and wealth building, and it's just going to make it so much harder, because I'm not going to even get opportunities that I've bust my behind for.
I would say for me, it was, I think, I want to say it was 2019 too, where Greg Abbott finally decided to, like, try to get rid of abortion. That was before they overturned Roe v. Wade. And I remember us, like, I think I had literally just taken sex ed in high school. And I was thinking, like, y'all, like, y'all don't understand, like, this is about to get so much harder, like, for you to be have access to certain, like, contraceptives. And now y'all can't, like, if you ever, ever, ever needed one in a crazy excessive case, because even Texas don't even got no, like, you know, no exceptions. So, like, if you ever needed one in this crazy extreme circumstance, you can't get it here. And we had some people talking about it. We had some, you know, Texas representatives that were greatly against it, but it was like, if the governor say it, that's kind of what it was. And that's when I was like, nah, I feel like I should, you know, I was down in Austin at the protest, like, this ain't what it is. And so I would say that's probably, like, a, like, I know a piece of legislation that really was, like, that, like, touched me for real.
I could say the same for me. I feel like that affects my job, actually, on a day-to-day basis. And so I feel like when Roe v. Wade first, you know, the news first circulated around social media and television, it was a lot of fear put into the atmosphere. And I kind of want to do the work that I can to decrease that as much as possible. So if that means calling, writing emails, you know,
I got you're like a superhero.
I love you now. So for me, I believe I was in college at the time. I know Obama was in office. It was, I think, the legalization of, gay marriage. And, I just remember, like, just floating through life, like, yeah, I'm gonna be for the streets the whole time. Cause, you know, I ain't gotta get married, can't get married.
You're gonna make me cry.
and then, you know, boom, it's legal. So, you know, now I have to, like, rethink life And, you know, not like, redone.
She was like,
shouldn't be out in the streets no more.
Right. So now I can't be for the streets no more. So that was probably the first time that I was just like, oh, okay, like this trickles down into real life.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Like something is changing, you know, for me.
Yeah.
People forget how all of these laws affect everyone in a individual way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because, like, true. I think we talked about that when we were in D.C., and you were telling me like, oh, I didn't even know if I could get married. And I thought, right. Like, you gotta tell them. I forgot that wasn't legal for a long time.
We gotta tell them about DC.
Yes. Right. DC. We just came back from DC. Oh my God, city of our people.
We had a time.
We did have a time. Chocolate
yes.
City.
Yes. Chocolate City. Yes. DC is like, I'll tell people all the time, because I feel this way about Houston too. Like, I think publications and maybe news and maybe whatever really like to group Black people as a certain demographic, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like we always have these representations of us like being super hood or super ghetto or whatever. And I feel like you come to places like Houston or you come to places like DC and you see like the diversity amongst our people. Like you got your intellects, people that mail collect vinyl, and it's like,
she got 2,000.
I'm not her pointing her out though. Like mail, and then looking at me.
Vinyl. I'm not talking about like regular. I'm talking about this is more than a hobby.
Oh, so y'all are both on this.
More than a hobby.
So this is what happened, right? So while in DC,
we gotta hear it.
You know, so as a vinyl collector, like different cities have like different, if you can think about it, they have different playlists. Like if you look in Apple and you look at like top 100 songs for a different, every top city, they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how it is with like vinyl stores. Every city, every region has a different like sound. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, okay, well, let me, you know, DC, I know they have Go-Go. So I was just like, let me visit some vinyl stores. And I was just like, I'm only going to get one. And I left with 25.
She had a stack of vinyl.
Yeah, like I was just like, okay, I'm not gonna get this at home. You know, let me
ball out.
I mean,
in DC.
Yeah, like it was cool. But one thing for me in DC, it kind of affirmed some stuff. I do feel like some of our representatives are out of touch. You know, like they've been in office for so long, and I don't think it wasn't a line outside of their office to speak to them. I didn't hear the phones ringing like crazy. So I feel like they get in these seats and they're in them for decades, almost centuries. Just kidding. But
and some of them should get out, but
right, but they're not hearing from us. Like we're not calling, we're not walking in to say like, hey, this is what's going on here on the ground.
Yeah.
So they're kind of just going on along with their own agendas and talking to their staff.
Really
for some of the representatives, it did highlight that they're not out here on the ground doing what it is that we need them to do for our communities.
Absolutely.
So who wants to like for those that are watching, like we're talking about the end result of what happens when these bills get passed, but I don't really think a lot of people know how the bills get to that point.
Right.
So they have
and it feel like we need to tell our people, give them the tea. Give them the tea.
So bills start with just like an idea. Like anybody anywhere can write a bill. Like that, I think people think you got to be like a politician to do it or whatever. Anybody anywhere can write a bill. If you got a good idea, you feel like, I feel like I can make this happen, you can write a bill. And then once you write that bill is introduced to like your house and, your House or your Senate, and then it'll be like reviewed about like committees. It'll go through like this process of them like they might change the wording on it. They might understand like this is how the funding is going to look like this for this. So they might amend some stuff so it'll actually be passed on a full chamber. So once your committee approves it, because unfortunately the committee can, you know, not approve it, and then that'll be the death of the bill. You know, you
some
can
of these bills need to die.
Yeah, I'll say some of them need to die because I've read some bills and it's like, y'all wouldn't have passed that myself.
Yes.
Yes. And some people are very persevere through that, because I know like people that have literally reintroduced and the bill keep dying at committee. But if it gets approved past committee, then it goes into your full chamber. And that's probably what y'all know the most. I feel like that's kind of what they kind of repeat in like high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we got the House voting right now. And then it goes to your House, which is like obviously our largest. That's the largest because we only got 50 senators. But you know, all your representatives in the House will vote on it. And if the House likes it and it passes through the House, then it goes to the Senate, and the Senate likes it, And that it doesn't really happen that quickly, I should say. But if the Senate likes it, then it usually would go to like what we understand to be the president's desk. And then he will usually sign it into like law, or, you know, he also has the power to veto it. And then if he vetoes it, that can go back to Congress if, you know, and they can vote on itself. I think it's like 3/4 of a vote. And if they get it there, then it could be passed into law. And that's a long process for sure.
And there's also, we learned there's a website that you can go to.
Yes, congress.gov.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can go to the website and you can literally see the process of every bill, mm-hmm. and whether it's just been introduced, mm-hmm. Whether it's in the House or the Senate, or whether it's going to go forth. And I feel like that's cool to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Because that big, beautiful bill, I was on congress.gov BBB. Like, I was literally on congress.gov like every once it was like introduced, or I think once it was in the House, I was on it every day trying to figure out if it had been moved forward. And that was surprisingly, I tell people this, surprisingly that bill moved incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. We see bills that sit in mm-hmm. committees, sit in the House or whatever for like literally, I tell people all the time, mm-hmm. that weeks, months at a time, and it's like, oh, we still voting on it, or mm-hmm. we still deciding, or our committee still amending it, and blah blah. Mm-hmm. But that bill moved through like the whole like process incredibly fast,
and that's what could happen when you have control of Absolutely. The House and the Senate. Like, you're able to move things fast, and you know, and just speaking about the bad built bill.
Big talk bad
about it. Talk about it.
Yeah, like, what are some things in there that, especially you, Sarah, like, how do you feel that's going to impact like your line of work, just given like what you see at work, you know, walking the hospitals?
I'm afraid. I don't want to say afraid because I don't want to put fear out in there. There's life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen.
Amen.
I want to protect the people that I serve from the Medicaid cuts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The majority of the patients that I serve are Medicaid patients. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they kind of get forgotten about. Yeah, I feel like people are like, oh, you're kind of at the bottom of the totem pole whenever you're on Medicaid. And I feel like that's one thing that kind of hit me hard. Mm-hmm. So I want to do all that I can to mediate that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we can't change things that have already been signed into law.
Right.
But anything that I can do, like I said before, calling the congressman, mm-hmm. going to these city council meetings, mm-hmm. And reminding them that these Medicaid patients are just as important as everyone else.
Yeah, they're people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, cutting SNAP benefits, that,
yep.
like, what? You know,
yep. Maslow's.
I mean, growing up, that was like a thing.
And
like,
this is Maslow's. How people,
these are how, like, this is how single mothers are feeding their children.
Absolutely.
You yeah. know, the checks, Social Security checks only go so far. Yep. So even down to like the elder, like, this is how they're eating.
Yeah.
I'm so concerned about the health of people. They're not going to be eating proper food. Mm-hmm. And with that, and then down to Medicaid, they're not going to be getting proper medical care. Mm-hmm. I just don't see this going in the right direction. So like, even down to next time it's time for us to show up and show out, mm-hmm. like, we need to figure out, okay, this is how these things are affecting our community, and we need to be going to our city council. We need to be flipping votes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to be talking to these congressmen and holding them accountable, because they say a lot of stuff when they're campaigning. You said this, and what you're voting for is Hello? Against what you said you believe
Hello?
In.
Yeah, yeah.
What's
I feel
up?
Like we talked, we figured that out when we were in D.C. right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
About how even like, some of the people that work for the congressmen,
mm-hmm.
they are, you know, strictly on the congressman's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gets in the way as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess speaking of like Congress and representation, so here in Houston, or not even just Houston, but I know y'all heard about Greg Abbott's special session to redraw mm-hmm. the districts where
yeah.
I think mm-hmm. what's at risk is 9, 18, and I think there's another one.
21?
Not sure. Yeah, I don't know
one
for
of
sure.
Them.
Okay.
But, you know, if they redraw, and let's say this stuff passes, Trump's goal was to flip 5 seats in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, we took trips to talk to the people that represent us, mm-hmm. and if that goes through, you know, who, you know, yeah. like...
Our representatives will look different.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, knowing that, what are some things that y'all are kind of prepared to like get out there and do? Because even, and it could go both ways. Let's say mm-hmm. it does happen and they redraw districts and they put all of us somewhere else. You know, if
that's a very real thing.
Right. So, yeah. Like, I guess what are some things that you all are prepared to do to, like, turn out the vote, like, yeah. around you?
Yeah.
You know, no matter what way it goes.
Well, I know that there is power in numbers. And even in our last week's or 2 weeks ago session, time mm-hmm. is just moving. But these politicians, they care about votes more than money. We were taught that.
Yeah.
And it's like,
she told us that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think that we need to realize where our power is, and we need to show up and show out and make sure that they hear. Like you guys just said that y'all were in D.C. and there wasn't a long line. Phones hardly ringing. We need to get in NAG mode.
I thought that, like, with the big beautiful bull had just what passed like a couple weeks ago. So I'm thinking there are gonna be people up here protesting. I'm expecting these like representatives
to have crickets.
And it literally was not like that, like at all.
Yeah, boys was in line getting matcha.
Yeah. Not matcha. Diabolical.
And I literally was thinking that, like, why are y'all not like, come on, like,
y'all should, yeah. Hostile interaction.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. In the hallway.
Really? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
She was a journalist. I don't even know for what publication. She was a journalist, and there was a representative. They were just coming out of like meetings, whatever like congressional meeting was happening there. She was asking him about like the recent laws or like Trump's like initiative to get like a lot of immigrants out of the country. And she was just saying, like, kind of asking him, like, what do you think about this initiative? How is this not like against the law, what he's doing? Mm-hmm. And he just was in her face, like, is it not a crime to legally immigrate to the country? It was like he was in her face, and we all were looking around like, what? And people were just walking past,
like, it
was
just like
that's furniture moving activity,
regular day on Congress, like Capitol Hill. I said, oh,
that's
okay,
crazy.
I recorded. I was like, they gonna see this. But it was like he was very hostile, and I thought about that stuff like that is what makes people not show up.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? Like, politics itself is so intimidating. So it was like, and I'd be telling people, you might go near Austin, they process in by the Capitol all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not gonna vote today.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see people protest near voting sites. I'm not gonna vote today.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just wanting to like reiterate how much the big beautiful bill is going to affect other Black women.
Absolutely.
We talked about, like we said, Maslow's hierarchy and how people are not even worried about voting because they're trying to get their basic needs met. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just like what I talked about, Medicaid and Medicare funding and abortion rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like in the bill, they're cutting like just overall funding and grants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is going to filter into education. I think the Department of Education is probably already gone.
Yeah,
right?
It was desert.
We saw that in D.C.
Nobody around.
So, you know, there's always like this touting of Black women being the most educated, you know, most degree and all that. I think we're probably going to start to see a drop in that because, you know, the grants are going to go away.
The
funding opportunities are going to go away. And there's already been some studies to show the decline in just people applying for medical school just due to the affirmative action being taken away. And then now you have a funding gap. I think the funding for medical school itself is going to be up to a certain amount. And after that amount, like, you're kind of on your own. I think that's gonna have a pretty big impact on Black women in general, just knowing that that's something that we like to we want to be educated, we want to be great at what we do. So I think that's gonna show itself in a few years.
For sure. But I also think kind of what you were saying, I think that's why it's so important to be educated about what's going on too, because like what you're talking about, people don't know that. There's so much like in this bill where it's like, it's especially because it's like 100, it's like a, I think it's like close to 1,000 pages, like no one's reading that, but it's like there's so much stuff in there where it's like, y'all need to know this. There's so much stuff I feel like affects our community, and people just news is hard these days, so they always talk about, you got like that news, it's like right leaning, you got that news that's left leaning, so they're not giving me real news. But it's like, I'll be telling people all the time, like, you need to be educated. The educated vote is the only vote that really matters. So it was like, there's a bunch of people that are just like checking a name when they go in there, and it's like, do you know how this is about to change your life? You know how this is about to affect you? And like, even with them like redrawing districts, it's like, y'all need to know, like, where, like, who y'all representative. Like, I need to know where y'all polling, your poll sites are, so y'all can vote. But y'all need to know exactly what you're voting for. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people don't know that. And because, like I said again, because it's intimidating. You look on it, you go and try to read a bill. It's 1,000 pages. Mm-hmm. You go and look on a website, and it's 30, 40 different news articles. And it's like, I don't know who's giving me the right, like, you know, non-bipartisan news. And it's like, I feel like that misinformation or that undereducation is what is like making our people draw away from like, mm-hmm. like
this. So what is like a few things, or at least one thing that you would want like Black women to get out of this conversation, or, you know, if not women, just anybody to kind of take home? Like, they, if they remember nothing else, from this exchange or conversation, like, what are some things that we really want to, or you guys really want to drive home?
That there's power in numbers. And mm-hmm. I know that they may have felt discouraged since the last mm-hmm. election.
Not seen, unheard.
I know mm-hmm. that obviously we're all in the quote unquote 92%. Mm-hmm. I just don't want Black women to get down, and I don't want them to think that the fight is over.
Yeah,
for it's sure. not. Gloves still on.
Hey, hello. I had to take them off just for this podcast. So,
I mean, like I said, we already talked about, I do think that Black women, especially in our Harris mm-hmm. County here, right mm-hmm. here in H-Town, they should definitely be looking into the redistricting that's about to go on. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say protest, but is that the right word to use? I don't want them to feel like they have to go out like with their signs and everything, mm-hmm. but like, be making your rounds and figuring out what we're going to do to fight back against the redistricting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. even at home conversation, I was telling people, like, just talk at your dinner table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that if you don't want to go out and protest and be out there with, you know, a microphone mm-hmm. and be yelling, just have conversations amongst your family. I feel like that's enough. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you could get 10 people in your house to be like, we going down there to vote. Mm-hmm. This is what matters and blah, blah, then that's mm-hmm. cool. And if everybody can do that in all their homes, that's fine. Because the thing about, you know, these people who benefit from the bills, they always show up at them voting sites.
Sure do.
Always. Don't like, when you look at those numbers, we always close, but we are never close enough. Mm-hmm. And because that means, because they go out and vote. But they teach their kids. They talk, like, so they in their homes with it, like, this is what it matters to us. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like that's what we need to do, too. Like, we need to be having conversations amongst ourselves to be like, this is what's important to us. If you got to write it out and be like, this is what I want my next 3 years to look like. And then be able to be like, so how can I make that happen? And what's that going to look like for your city, for your town, for your mm-hmm. state? Then that's fine. But I feel like kind of what you said, like, don't feel like your power is nothing. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like people who benefit from like the law, the passing of these bills, whatever, they banking on you to feel like you mm-hmm. don't got no power.
Yep.
They like hoping that you sit at home and don't show up to these elections so they could just keep pushing their agenda, and we sit and we get left in the background. So it's
what,
like,
do y'all think is an issue that we should like have people care about? Or like one issue that we should push people to care about?
One issue we should push people to care about.
I think it's not necessarily political issue. But one thing I find that is a issue is just hyper individualism.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that came up during the trip, didn't it?
No, mm-hmm. it did.
Yeah.
And there's something called mutual aid that we don't discuss, we don't talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what essentially mutual aid is just thinking through history, when they had the Black Panther Party, for example. They started like the food program to mm-hmm. feed the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the government didn't help with that. That was that organization mm-hmm. with the resources that they had coming together to feed a community. Essentially, since all of these things are being rolled back and they're taking us back to this time, I think we have to focus on community, building community.
Mm-hmm.
And, how do we provide mutual aid yeah. for each other? Like, how do mm-hmm. we create spaces where if people need something, they can get that? Like, we mm-hmm. know, SNAP benefits mm-hmm. are going to be lessened. Like, maybe that means, you know, on Sundays, we got to start having Sunday dinner. You know, mm-hmm. food can last 3 days in
that's
the fridge.
Real.
you know, maybe somebody got to start cooking on Sundays in the mm-hmm. family, just so we know the people that do are on food stamps or, you know, SNAP, mm-hmm. They're able to eat for 3 days.
Yeah, like,
that's
sure.
that's food they don't have to go find.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to individualism, like, I used to debate in high school, and one thing.
Hey,
I
think me
it was,
too.
Yeah, it was Lincoln Douglas debate. And, like,
me
you have
too.
To,
okay,
you know, you have to frame things.
The great debaters.
For the, not really, though, but you have to frame things like what's going to be for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And it's not about you. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to individualism, I think we're so caught up in what's going to be like, I'm getting money.
Yeah,
I'm
doing I got to feed my kids.
And we have to start thinking about what's going to be the decisions for the greater good. How can we help Absolutely. Each other? How can we be in community with one another to help one another?
Yeah. And I feel like in some ways with like the stuff that's happening right now, I think in a way that like we've been seeing that for like, I could say the last 20 years too. There's so much stuff that happens within our community or like bills that get passed that benefit like other parties. I feel like it draws us away from each other. Cause mm-hmm. then you, like you said, you start like hyper individualizing yourself. Like, I got to make sure I'm straight. This is what my life looks like right now. I can't be worried about my next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, and like stuff like this keeps getting passed. And I feel like that pushes us back mm-hmm. into like our corners. Cause it's like, I see you need help, but I really got to help myself. I can't pick you up and I'm messed up too. So I feel like I think we push towards individualizing ourselves, like I gotta do my thing, but really we should be coming together where mm-hmm. it's like, nah, this is gonna separate us and it's intent to, but like we gotta like be together, we gotta do something to help each other out because mm-hmm. at the end of the day that's kind of how, that's like the code of our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it's always kind of been like, they ain't gonna help us, we gotta help us. So it's like, and I feel like now it's that's probably more important now than, I won't say ever, because it's definitely been worse, mm-hmm. you know, for our people. But that's definitely very important as of right now, I would say so, for sure.
I mean, midterm elections are coming up. And
we
got to remember, people get lost in the big presidential
election. Yeah, for sure. Year.
Vote down the ballot.
Yes.
And they forget to vote for their state senators. Mm-hmm. And they forget to vote for their city council members.
Yeah, for sure.
Like she said, just vote down the ballot and people forget about that.
Yeah. And I think now with all of the moves Trump is making, like he's pushing things to the state
mm-hmm. yeah.
level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So lower level, local level politics is going to be what's truly important.
Absolutely.
And I think honestly, what I said I was going to do is just start to like talk about or post about, you know, who I'm going to vote for. And why I'm going to vote for them.
Yeah.
I think we don't see these things on social media because nobody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody's talking
I feel like
about
they're afraid of like who's watching and like
mm-hmm. yeah,
what
yeah.
other people are going to see and how they're going to be judged if they vote for a certain
yeah.
person.
And it's not red versus blue. It's who is in alignment with your values.
Yeah, for sure.
So, because not all skin folk is kin folk
Hello.
Either. So let's not
just we learned that in DC too.
Yeah, exactly. So
absolutely.
And I feel like, you know how they talk about like we can like I have a lot of friends that be like, oh, I could have been an investigator because they know how to get just a little bit of information and find out everything. Mm-hmm. We need to put that same energy into politics because that's where it matters. Use those same investigative skills and really research these people so you can charge them up.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
Sure. Yeah.
Always respectfully.
Respectfully.
I was going to say kind of.
You say disrespectfully.
Yeah. But no, but that's real.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't come from a heavy advocacy background, but when I see people around me being affected, when I see, you know, I don't have any kids, but I want to have a family one day. What world am I going to bring them into? And what am I doing to make sure that they have the best life that they can have?
Yeah,
the work starts now. It starts with me.
Yeah,
it starts with my community. So it's like a call to action to all of us that, you know, we all have to do something. If not because we don't care about us, it's about we care about for who's up next.
Right. For sure. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that because we talked about that in DC too, where she was saying like our people still feel effects from like presidents we had 3-4 terms ago. And I'll be thinking about it too because I think people always think like, is this election I vote and then it's like whatever. And the kind of what you were saying, like vote down a ballot, it's like, well, somebody's senator, somebody's congressman, they have been in office for like quite literally decades. Like they keep getting reelected, or really, I don't even know if they keep getting reelected. I just think the same people vote for them and other people just don't. So they happen to get reelected. But those people have been in office for a long time. It's like presidents change every 8 years they got to. Mm-hmm. But it's like somebody's like I said, congressmen, they've been there a long time and it's like, and they ain't doing what you need them to do. So get them out of there.
Yeah,
like, people forget that
unseat them.
The actions of this big beautiful bill are not. They're still going to have, what's the word? They're going to have repercussions for a couple years to come, and people forget about that.
So. Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Because I'd be like, they Save Barack's name a lot, you know, because mm-hmm. he, you know, was our president. And but you know, I wasn't old enough to vote for him, but I would have. But you know, I feel like we still feel effects from his policies, and we and the president before him and the president after him. Yeah. And that's just gonna keep happening. So it's like if we don't do anything now, then it's like kind of what you said, like what are our children ain't gonna look, they gonna, their lives are gonna mm-hmm. look completely different from ours. Yeah. School, they gonna, school is gonna look incredibly different because they passed the legislation to get rid of certain like topics in school. They ban mm-hmm. books every other day. And it's like,
that's true.
So their education is gonna look completely different from ours. And then like, kind of what you're saying, book funding, people ain't gonna go to college no more because it's like, I can't afford that. I'm not about to get out of college mm-hmm. and owe $300,000 in debt. I'm not doing that. People don't want to go to medical school. Now we got less doctors. Because yeah. people feel like I'm not, there's less doctors less and nurses.
Nurses, yeah.
I wasn't young, so I saw that. You.
Yeah.
I was going, I'm less doctors, less nurses. Now we got less people in that field. And yeah. that's the most important field we got. So it's like, I feel like, all like you said, all of these bills right now is going to like change what our lives look like for the next coming decades. And then it's going to be like, well, I told y'all to vote. I was 21 sitting in the chair telling y'all to vote. And then I don't want to be 41 and be like, I told y'all to vote. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. 41. They don't talk like that. Maybe 61, 71 year olds.
Okay.
But yeah.
So
I feel like that's important.
I got a question for y'all. Mm-hmm. So we know that Republicans have been planning since the civil rights era. You know, Project 2025 was pretty comprehensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So if there was a Democratic Project 2025, what are some of the things that, if we were the authors of that, what are some things y'all would throw in our Project 2025?
Ooh.
One thing.
Well, I mean, for me, it would, even with me being a part of Urban League for so many years, one thing that we preach is equal opportunity.
Absolutely.
It's not really about any particular demographic having a leg up. It's about everyone having a fair chance.
Right.
So equity, it would be heavy. Yeah. On equal opportunity,
yeah.
housing, making sure that no matter what community you come from, that you have a chance mm-hmm. at home ownership.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about, when you think about some of the wealthiest generations that like where those last names live on,
mm-hmm.
they make money and the money is lived on. It's from life insurance policies. It's real estate. And then it's investments.
Yeah.
Those are the three.
Yeah. Sure.
Those are the three. And I do find that a lot of people in our culture is not as well versed in those three areas mm-hmm. as other cultures are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'm going to say equitable access to healthcare, quality yeah. healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Quality. Yes.
For Americans, I feel like that's obviously lacking. So that's what I would have.
I think mine's going to be a little controversial, guys.
Uh-oh.
Talk about it.
I would say I would want more money to be spent in other ways for immigration. I feel like we put a lot of money for border control. We put a lot of money for, policing, even like maybe even detention centers.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if we pay people more to handle those processes, then like it would be a much smoother process. We have a better vetting process because everyone loves to throw out like these criminal allegations, but it's like we have a better vetting process for these people trying to get in. Because what people don't talk about is like immigrants like contribute to our economy.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that here that start businesses that bring jobs to our country.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in Houston, so we see that all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a melting pot for sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I feel like it would be that. A lot of people that I'm like super cool with, I love certain professors I didn't have, they got crazy stories. And I feel like I tell people all the time, like, it's being an American is hard for Black people because, you know, we didn't come here, you know, on our own, and it's different. But I feel like there's privilege in being American. We don't talk about it enough. Because mm-hmm. then when you hear other people from other countries, their stories look incredibly different from ours.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if we had a process that was a lot more, because I don't want to say easier, because I think it should be a complicated process in itself. Mm-hmm. But if we had a process that was a lot more strict, but a lot more, I want to say a lot less racist, but that's a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better for our economy rather than worse for our economy. Mm-hmm. Better for our people rather than worse for our people.
Mm-hmm. What you think, Mel?
I want to stack the Supreme Court, but also I feel like it should always
that's
be
a good
balanced.
One.
Mm-hmm. If not balanced, just a nonpartisan kind of like the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel like they should like review things from like a conservative or a liberal perspective.
Yeah.
I feel like the Supreme Court should be nonpartisan and kind of representative of the overall population of the country.
So do you think you would, obviously they have a like a lifelong seat. Do you think you would change that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people say like, yeah, they're where they are is not a reflection of our time. So I always ask that, like, would y'all give that up? And it's like, yeah, I would. I guess I would say I would. That seems like so hard because I was watching a video that talked about that. Like, our constitution is like this document our country was founded on, and to like change things that are like in our constitution, it like looks incredibly different.
Yeah.
And you can do it in a legal, like, you know, constitutional way, but our president right now, he doesn't care about that constitution. But you know, we'll wrap it up.
Sure. I mean, what's one way you think that we could get people to want to make change and advocate for themselves and their community?
Ooh, what's one way I would?
Well, first thing is, it's about educating yourself. That for sure. Is it. Like, I mean, even down to like this AI culture, Google is your friend. Yeah. I literally have Google bills that pass and said, how does this affect me?
Yeah,
35-year-old African-American woman in finance. Yeah. How does this affect me?
Right.
How does this affect my grandma? How does this affect my sister? How does this affect my nephew? Like, I'm asking questions. And then when it tells me these things, I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Then it makes me want to show up and like, okay, well, who put that into position? Who is speaking on my behalf saying that we agree with this?
Right.
Because I don't. And now I'm going to the places and I want to have conversations. Like you said, these people are approachable.
Yeah,
their email, their phone line is on, and I want to talk to these people. That's what I'm going to do. I'm educating myself, and then I'm holding people accountable that's saying, yeah, we cool with this. Because we not.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
And there's a lot of those. There's a lot of people speaking, like speaking for you. And it's like, I'm not cool with that.
I think mine is partnering with our health department, our local health department, to kind of fill in the gaps that, like I said, my Medicaid patients may need throughout their pregnancy. I'm talking about prenatal, during pregnancy, and obviously postpartum, which is very important and gets forgotten about.
Like, yeah, for sure.
You know, partnering with them and making sure they have meals, making sure they have adequate housing, making sure that they know who and when and why they should contact their physicians in their postpartum period, because that's the period that women are, you know, most likely to have complications in as well. So,
oh my gosh, she's such an advocate.
I feel like doing that is just gonna help fill in the gaps until we can get to the bigger point of like tackling this Medicaid issue.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to repeat myself, but I really want to say, like, talk to your representatives. Like, if something is not going your way, you can literally go in there and be like, you said you was against this. What's going
on? People gotta Google their rep. They don't know.
Yeah, for
Oh my gosh. So start there. Google who your representative is. You have your.
Yeah, I want to say, I don't want to misspeak because I think it's Conquer.gov, but I'm not sure. But there's a website where you can literally enter your zip code. It's gonna tell you right who your representative is.
Called like, you can Google like who represents me.
Yeah,
and it's like a link that you can type in.
So that's step one. Find out who represents you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then see what they got going on. And does it align with who you are and what you want your life to look like? And if it doesn't, show up and show out.
Yeah,
but don't crash out. Respectfully.
Go to your
I mean, if you feel like you need to, no.
Go to your town hall meetings. I feel like
oh my god.
Elderly are always at the town hall meetings. And I feel like our generation needs to step up and go to some.
Yeah.
You know what?
Maybe there.
I feel like if we actually went to town hall meetings, and I can only speak for where I live.
Yeah.
I think more of y'all would be outraged because some of the town halls that I've attended, at least again, in my area, they turn into award ceremonies. They turn into devotion and shout out sessions.
Oh, wow.
The question and answer portion of these town halls is probably the least important part of the town hall.
Wow.
And I feel like if more of us that had, you know, more intentions would go into those town halls, we'd be like, this a town hall?
Right, right.
Yeah.
What are the demographics of those town halls that you've been to?
Older.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I was assuming.
Oh, yeah. Older and black and brown communities.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And then also, just like bringing up town halls, one thing we can do is, well, at least what I like to do is just focus on the ground level, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, like when we're talking to like our audiences, mm-hmm. we're preaching to the choir,
yeah.
right? So going to the ground level of, you know, civic clubs, yeah. you know, becoming a part of your civic club or, anywhere that you live, what's the organization that advocates?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Find out what that organization.
Engage voters, Urban League.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out, Urban League. Our president over there.
You know, the NAACP.
Yeah.
And at least in Houston, we have.
Because they do real work.
Like, no, they do. Yeah. They do. We have civic clubs. And then above civic clubs, we have super neighborhoods. I believe there's like 80 mm-hmm. super neighborhoods in Houston. Mm-hmm. And that's a direct connection from your community to city council mm. and the mayor. Mm. Your city council person, they host meetings mm. in your area. So showing up to even city council, like they actually passed recently that they're gonna do night sessions mm-hmm. for I think the rest of the year in Houston, oh, where wow. the city council meeting once a month will be at 6:30 PM. So, you know, working people can show up. You don't have to yeah. take off from work. Yeah. Just being engaged at those lower levels, because those are the people that we need to reach mm-hmm. rather than, you know, like the people that we actually link up with, have political discussions. Like, I know you voting.
Right, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. advocating at that grassroots level.
We want to teach people what to do after they vote. I feel like that's what our generation's big hurdle is. Like, we can register people, but then after they get registered, they kind of fall off the
yeah
and after you register, bring people, friends with you,
yeah, like, there's a bunch call of people your cousins and them.
Yeah, for sure
let's go vote together and yeah. then we're gonna go and have get some food and drink.
Right, Engage right, voters right. does ride bicycles to the polls. Shout out to
like,
Engage
I mean we can make this a thing, but like yeah. you know, you can make it fun, you can yeah. make it exciting, it's yeah. making it an experience,
yeah. yeah, like you can.
And then that's why it's important to know your size too, because some of these like the lines be crazy, and I'd have heard people be like, I'm not waiting that line to vote.
Oh,
and
I'll be waiting.
Me too. I work too.
And there are also some locations that there's no line at all. And they're not talking about that. Like, yeah. I've been to places where the line, I was like, I'm not waiting in this. And I just go to another site.
Yeah, you're going to another
site. There are so many sites.
Yeah, for
there
sure.
There are, you know, local organizations we need to remind people about supporting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we mentioned Houston mm-hmm. Urban League is one.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have the best of the best engaged voters.
Yes, yes.
We should have the what is
that? Right, yeah. Like, right.
Yeah.
Sure. And then there's a League of Women Voters of Houston yeah. organization. That mm-hmm.
They do a really good job. I love them. Mm-hmm.
What else?
I know. I can't think of them, but they be on college campuses and they register people to vote on college campuses, but I really can't think of their coalition. I'm mad at myself. But they help younger people register to vote. Like mm-hmm. people who like, I feel like a lot of people always speak to like older audiences, like people who pay rent and pay mm-hmm. bills and blah, 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 cause it feels like it affects them greater. But I be telling people all the time, like it'd be
older
great.
People that pay rent and pay bills.
Yeah, sorry.
Only older people pay rent.
No, young people. Y'all know what I mean.
Clutching my car.
I'm clutching. I was y'all so stuck there. I mean. Like, wait a
that's
minute.
I feel like people what's going on like, here? Like, the voter age is 18, but I feel like a yeah. lot of times when people are trying to get people to vote, they're not talking to 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Or at least it doesn't feel like that.
Okay.
But I can see that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, so real. I feel like they're, like I said, they're, but there are coalitions to educate the youth and get the youth out there to vote. So it's like, that's good. And I tell people all the time, who you vote for your representative is who's going to advocate for you in Washington. So y'all complaining about the big beautiful bill, y'all complaining about this, y'all complaining about abortion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you change your representative, then they'll change. That'll change what DC looks like too. Because mm-hmm. right now we're not the majority or whatever, whoever is not the majority. But it's like, when you change who you vote here, it's like, mm-hmm. they'll do different things for you there. And so, yeah. But there's a coalition that, like I said, that goes to colleges. They don't do that too. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we covered everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Is there any like final words that you want to say to people? For me, it's just that this work is so important. And even if you're not doing it for yourself, do it for the next person. Mm-hmm. Even the Bible says we need to be a fisher of men. Mm-hmm. So let's be a fisher of men when it comes to advocacy. Mm-hmm. Let's get these people together. Let's educate them and speak their language. It's not about being holier than thou or more political than thou, but like really speaking people's language and meeting them where they are. Mm-hmm. And saying and telling people how these things affect them directly, and you know, take them with you. Don't just like, I think that sometimes we give them all this information, which can be, you know, information overload.
Yeah.
But like, nah, I'm gonna educate you, and then I'm voting on this day. You want me to come pick you up?
Right.
Like, I got gas, I got a car, I got I got four seats. So that's five people we can go and vote together.
Right.
So, and that would be my call to action to everybody. Like, everybody have a goal of five people.
Yeah.
That I'm going to vote with five people, and you going to vote, and you going to vote, and you going to vote with your people. And then we're going to tell all of them to go vote with somebody and just like let it go, because it's not even just a lack of being registered, especially like even we all live in Texas. Mm-hmm. It's not about being registered to vote. It's about when it's time to vote, people are not showing up.
Yeah, for sure.
And we got to tighten up. That's we have to tighten up, people.
Harris County, we have like what the biggest demographic of black voters.
Yeah.
But we have to show up.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I say. I would say, don't wait until it gets bad to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait until like the unemployment line is ridiculous. Don't wait until like you said, like SNAP benefits have been cut more than half and people at stores angry. Like, recognize, be able to recognize when it's like, I feel like I should do something right now. Like, I tell people that all the time, like, unfortunately, like, Roe v. Wade got overturned and people out there protesting, but it's like, y'all too late.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if same with the Big Beautiful Bill, like, it's been signed into law. It's like, y'all should have, like, but if you see the signs earlier, you can do something earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But don't wait till, like I said, these things become law. Like, it already didn't happen up on Capitol Hill. And then you're like, nah, we should protest. We got to be voting. We got to da da da. It's like, y'all could do something right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would say that. Don't wait till it's bad.
I agree.
I would say just be in community with other people. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know the people that live around you. Understand the issues that are happening around you. Bring awareness into your inner circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be afraid to bring up conversations about politics and advocacy at brunch, at happy hour.
Mimosas.
Right.
Hello.
Over the endless mimosas. You know, it might get a little heated, but be comfortable in bringing this into your personal spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And also, for a moment, if you're not in survival mode, you know, if you can enjoy or have a headspace to think about other people, always think about other people, or try to think about other people and things that are going to impact your neighbor, your friend, your siblings, and take that with you from day to day and help that lead you into advocacy or at least voting or holding people that you vote for accountable.
Y'all got to be in the club twerking like, wait, who you vote for?
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
That was hilarious.
Well, thank you guys for this lovely conversation.
Yeah, so
I think y'all did good.
Yeah, I think we did great. So, final words, my name is Nitasia Spirit Dupree, and it has been an honor for you all to tune in with us for This Ain't Politics. This is personal. Y'all got to say y'all names one more time for the one time.
This is Sarah Butler.
Kenne Barnes.
Mel Young.
Thank you, guys.
Tune in to Engage Voters, and we are checking out. Thank you.
Thank you.